Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to the final Access All Areas of the year. I'm Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
Happy Christmas indeed. I mean, I couldn't be more festive. I'm wearing a Mariah Carey Christmas hat. I've got all my decorations up. My heating is working, which it hasn't been for a week. So thank you very much to Kane Electricians who helped and came and sorted that out. So I am feeling festive. I just saw you down a shop before the show, Bob. What's going on?
Yeah, guys, not the kind of shot you'd expect at the festive season. So I've just done a shot before recording this of Night Nurse. I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling a little bit...
sensitive?
Yeah, I'm not feeling great today. So I hope it's nothing too bad.
You know what I mean? It just started?
Just literally started, so I got a really sore throat. You know, we just start feeling a little bit shitty, feeling a bit achy, bit of a sore throat, but we're going to get through it. We've got the night nurse here, and couldn't be less festive. So I said last week, didn't I, that I was going to get to show you my lovely old tree.
Yeah.
I'm currently in bed because I'm snowed in at my parents', but we move, guys, and we're going to make it work. And Steve has got his Mariah hat on. He's got his tree in the background.
Second hat to come as well. So I'm going to change halfway through. Got ABBA and Mariah.
Costume change. Absolutely. Yeah. In homage of Mariah. I mean, because they said he would be doing a costume change during an hour show.
Exactly. So I thought, I'd go for it. And as you can see, I've got flashing lights. I've got my tree. I am wearing a grey hoodie, but I don't have any Christmas jumpers, so I'm stuffed, really.
One. I've got two red hoodies. I've got one Christmas one, and then this one is more of like, it's just a skincare and chill. So I have got to wear that for a little festive thing at the end of the show, but when I'm not feeling so good at the minute, I kind of feel like my internal thermostat, I'm so... like full of temperature I think I might overheat and potentially die. That's a bit extreme. I'm not going to die, guys. That's a little bit of a drama queen. I ain't going to die, but I would
thank God.
I'd be up for the hour. Good. So, hi.
Keep it to the best then, babes. All good.
Festive times. Are you ready for it, Steve? I can't believe it's the last one of the year.
I've basically got all my presents. I just need to do one more little trip to the shops. And then I'm pretty much done. This weekend I've got my sister and my auntie coming to visit to have a little festive trip around some of the Christmas markets. Not like the big ones, not the big ones, because I don't think I can face Winter Wonderland the weekend before Christmas. But some of the smaller ones, which would be really nice. And now I've got my heating working, you know, they won't freeze to death in my flat while they're here, or we'll all have to huddle up for warmth like penguins. But the snow's been quite a rare treat. We very rarely in this part of the world, sort of London, Essex, southeast, get snow before Christmas, do we?
I was just literally saying to him earlier, I don't think I've ever seen this much snow in England. Like, on top of my car, for people listening, you can't see how much I'm showing, but my roof is, how many inches is
10?
I reckon potentially deeper how it's
really?
Upset.
Okay.
Maybe more. So my whole car was basically just like a big, huge snowball. Don't get me wrong, it's beautiful when it first falls. Some of the kids in Mum and Dad's Road have done all lovely snowmen, which is lovely. It's really pretty at that point.
Mm.
It's not a day or two later when you start getting the slush and the ice, and it kind of loses its appeal.
Just a bit muddy and gross and frozen.
And it's when it starts affecting things. So when you just want to be able to get in the car and go somewhere. I know first world problems and all that, but sometimes you've just got to get in the motor and go somewhere. And when you can't get snowed in, like I say, you can't get, if there ain't no gritters coming out to certain roads, what can you do? I'm hoping it's going to melt a little bit, or even maybe potentially rain tonight. But I don't think it's forecast to do that. So I could be tunneling and digging myself out.
I would pay to see that, Bob. You with a shovel in your hand, beating your way out of your of the
shoveling
house.
Shoveling snow, yeah. Well, you should have seen me trying to clear my car earlier on. Blimey, that was, I had a broom trying to push it off the roof of the car. On my, it's just one of those strange things that we're just not equipped for it over here, are we?
Nah. Well, it happens so rarely, you know, it's not really something we ever often need to prepare for. You don't even go years without snow. So yeah.
And if you do get it, it's very rare that it's before Christmas. It's only like a January turnout, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So it's quite rare to still have Christmas decorations up and it'd be snowy outside. So it was quite nice the day it happened, but I agree with you now. It's just like big, muddy, slushy. To me trying to walk to Tesco this morning, had put my walking boots on because it was like trying to walk on the pavement. So you know, it's not exactly that festive now, but it was. Last week, Bob, both you and I said we were going to discuss one big thing. What didn't we?
Yes.
Harry and Meghan.
So I sat and binged the full 3 hours straight away. It dropped to 8 o'clock and I wasn't working till like about lunchtime that day. So it almost worked ideally. Mm-hmm. I binged all 3 hours and I think we were saying, I flagged that my thing is what I wanted was some kind of clarity. I wanted information that was new news.
Yeah.
And after the first 3 hours, I still don't feel I've truly had that. Whether we get more, because obviously we've got another 3 hours to go this Thursday, which will be tonight by the time this airs. Well, actually, no, it already would have finished dropping 8 a.m. in the morning. So we're in that parallel time universe. So we might already know by this point when you're listening to this. But yeah, for me, and it's almost just for them, I want them to almost be able to justify, not that they need to justify, even if they just turn around and say, we want the cold, dark cash from Netflix. Thank you very much. $110 million. Lovely. This is the salt code. Ping it over. That's fine. But I wanted them to be able to kind of almost justify it just because I feel like the tide is really turning now. And then also because we know we've got the book coming on the 10th of January, how I don't know how we've got another 3 hours and a book to go if we're not getting much more information. Yeah. What was your thoughts on the first 3 episodes that dropped?
So pretty much same as you. I watched it all in the day it came out, not all at once. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there wasn't a huge amount of revelations. And the things that they did reveal, mostly about sort of Kate, their thoughts on Kate and her not being a hugger, which I thought was a little bit mean because I know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to paint her as cold, right? But like, I know quite a few people who aren't really huggers, and that's some people just aren't, you know, like whether they're royalty or not. I did find some of the bits from her mum interesting, Doria, her talking about her experience, first time we've ever heard her talk. But I agree, there wasn't a huge amount to go on. The trailer for the next 3 episodes hints at some more to come. They talk about how they, which is a bit, they're unclear about who exactly they is, were willing to protect William in a way that they weren't Harry and Meghan.
What did he say? They are willing to lie for William, but they won't tell the truth for us. Between us, obviously, we can only speculate because we don't know until Thursday who they are. Yeah. Do you think that's the family or do you think that's the press?
I think, having been slightly misled in the first trailer, that they probably mean the press.
And maybe just edited very well in that trailer to make it allude that it's the family, potentially.
Yeah, because I think basically what they're trying to say so far is that they're grievances are really with the press, aren't they? They're annoyed and upset the way they got treated by the press. Yeah. Less so stuff within the palace, which they haven't really revealed a huge amount about. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited to see the next 3 episodes. I am expecting some more revelations. But like you say, we do have a book as well. So there's going to be a lot to come out over the next few weeks. And actually, by the time we do our next episode, the book will already be out. So we'll be able to talk more about.
Yeah, that is true. That's something to look forward to. Roll on January.
Isn't it?
Because I was thinking it's And my only thing that's making me think that the next three, and this is where I'm kind of on a double-edged sword, because I always think if there was something in the can that was that explosive or something to hang your hat on, knowing production companies, would they want to tease, especially after Ep 3, knowing a week later, would there have been a to come or almost a pull? Or did they just kind of think, we're just going to do another trailer and people who have invested 3 hours are going to watch anyway? But also, I think, thinking about it, the first 3 hours and the first three eps were very much their meeting, their love story. And I kind of did really like the... But then that's because I'm just a massive fan of reality TV, and I kind of think sometimes I was getting vibes that sometimes it felt a bit documentary, which is what I think it was meant to be, or is classed as. But then there was elements where it did almost become like reality TV, which I'm not throwing shade there. But it did kind of have that, like, we'd never seen so many aspects of their private life and the kids
and all of that
and their moments. But it was very much their early days, like the going on their first dates to Soho House and all that kind of stuff. But the next three eps and the last 3 hours are very much kind of now wedding and the aftermath. And it's kind of, that's the time frame that shit kind of goes down, isn't it? Because everything seemed to be hunky-dory until the wedding or post-wedding. So as things are chronological, maybe it makes sense that the first 3 hours were always going to be a bit like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's when we see. But, yeah, who knows?
We have an exciting show coming up today, our final one of the year. We have, first up, Kitty Scott-Claus and Elle of a Day, both been on the show before, Drag Race UK royalty. They're currently on a Christmas tour. Then we have Ollie London, who probably most people know as the British man that tried to become Korean through surgery and things. So we've got him coming up on talking about what he's been up to. And Liam Reardon from Celebs Go Dating / Love Island on to talk about his experience on the show. Because it's Christmas, we're going to do a tiny little quiz. Got a few questions from our producer. She's ready to fire them away.
Love this. I know how much you hate a quiz in a game.
It's so true.
It only comes out once a year. It's Christmas when you're willing to do a game and a quiz.
Yeah, it's true.
I've not seen the questions yet, so I'm excited.
I've just been sent the first one. What was the most watched Netflix series of 2022?
Oh, 2022.
So I'm going to say The Crown, but I don't think that's true.
2022. God, this year's almost been a little bit of a blur. Gosh, that's a real hard one. What else has been a huge drop on? I don't know if this is it, but could it be? Is it Dana?
Dana?
Was that his name? Who's that? Who was
the serial killer one?
Yeah,
I know the one you mean.
I don't think it was called Dana.
Maddie, what's the answer? We'll find out Wednesday.
Shut up.
The Addams Family. Yeah.
And that's only just dropped.
No, it hasn't just dropped. Interesting. It's been very well reviewed. So,
That is interesting.
Interesting. I haven't watched it yet, so I can't comment.
Megan and Harry ain't knocked Wednesday off her.
Interesting. That is interesting.
Too.
Which Kardashian and Jenner had a baby this year? It's Kylie.
And
Khloe.
And was they the only two?
Yeah, I think they were. Kim, Courtney, Khloe and Kylie, we were right.
Yep.
Boom. We know our Kardashians.
Gosh, oh yes.
Next question. Who won the Eurovision Song Contest 2022? Which country did they represent? What did they sing? And how many points did they score?
Over to you, Stephen.
Well, it was Ukraine, Palace Orchestra were the name of the band. What country did they represent? Who won? So Kalish Orchestra, Ukraine. Their song was called Stefania. Their points, I'm going to go 627. Oh, so close.
What was
631.
It?
I was only four points off.
So close. I'd give you that.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take that point. Thank you. Next question. Final one. Which song has been named the UK's most streamed song of 2022? I'm going to go with something from the Beyonce album.
Yeah. Cuff It.
What was the big single? Break My Soul.
oh yeah, could be that actually. I think the other one's more of a viable dance on social, but the song probably could be that. I reckon it's definitely Beyonce though.
Should we go with Break My Soul?
Yeah.
Have we got any others? I'm trying to think.
Queen Bee. Who else could it potentially be?
Is Ed Sheeran release anything this year? He's usually pretty big.
Ed's dropped this year. Could be Harry Styles.
Oh, as it was? Harry Styles?
Yeah. Oh, should we go Queen Bee or Harry or Ed?
Let's try both. We'll go, right, yeah. Beyonce and Harry.
Should we stick with it? We both thought initially Queen Bee.
Okay, yeah, let's say that.
That's just us being completely stereotypical gay men.
We were wrong. It was shit. Harry Styles.
See, God, sometimes it is good to change your mind.
Yeah, damn it.
Too little, too late.
That was everywhere, that song, wasn't it? So I can understand that. Not on any of my playlists, so don't care.
Not on my playlist, but he had a major glow up this year, which I think I spoke about at some point.
Didn't he? Yeah.
Certainly become my celeb crush.
I mean, hot as, yeah, but don't really care for his music, personally. Just personally, no, will ill intended. Right, our first guests, Kitty and Ella, are in the waiting room, so let's get them in.
Let's do it.
Hello, can you hear me?
How are you both?
Good, how are you?
Really good. Thanks for coming on the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on.
You're welcome. Oh, you're looking well.
Thank you, babes.
Bob's actually ill. He's doing very well, considering. He had to down a little, cowpole shot.
I mean, it looks like it was a shot of absinthe, but it wasn't. It was.
Oh my God, that looks like hell.
it didn't taste much better when I swallowed it, I can tell you.
How are you guys doing? How are you enjoying the festive season? It's obviously a busy one for you both.
Yeah.
It's been great.
You go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's been great. We've done our first two venues of our tour, and it's been so cold and so much travelling. We went from Glasgow to Cambridge yesterday, so it's about 7.5 hours.
Gosh, I bet it was cold up in Glasgow, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It was like -6 when we left at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it was awful, but, you know, the festive season and all that.
And how are you loving it already? A couple of shows in, are you, like, just finding your feet and just completely loving it?
Oh, do you know what? We're having the best time. Honestly, it's what I love about it is that every show is different, and then it depends on the audience that we have in, because so much of the show changes around the audience. And so it's always so fresh for me and Ella. And like, we just have such a laugh, don't we?
We do. And the thing is, you know, you've got, like Kitty said, there's new audience members every single night that we can pick on. So it's fantastic. You know, if you come in a red beret, you will be picked on.
And what's really exciting about that, like you say, I guess until you step out, you really don't know how that evening's going to go. So it keeps it completely fresh and exciting to kind of think, right, what kind of show, what audience have we
terrifying.
Got?
Terrifying.
That's exciting.
It's great. We went from Glasgow to Cambridge, and obviously we thought the vibe would be very different, but actually it was kind of similar, wasn't it? Cambridge was so up for it last night. Glasgow, they love their Venoms and all that stuff. So we got on the Venom. I don't know if you had a Venom before?
I don't even know what that is.
What's a Venom? I've had a
Oh my God. It's like a Scottish drink, but it's like, do you know when you go to a party and like when you're a teenager and you're just like, oh, let's make a drink and we'll just pour a bit of everyone's drink in the glass.
Yeah, like a fishbowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that. And it gets you so messed up, but they're fabulous. We love them. They taste great.
You've done so well to not get snowed in and managed to get down to Cambridge in time. Was you driving through the snow?
Yeah,
well,
it was.
You know what? We got stuck on the motorway, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We had to turn around and we added another 45 minutes to our journey, but we made it. We made it in time. It took about 7.5 hours in total on the road.
Yeah, jeez.
Woo! That was fun.
But if we didn't turn around, they were like, oh, it would have been like an extra 3 hours, like waiting for like the snow to clear and whatnot. And so we were like, oh my God, thank God we turned around. Thank God we were there to give Cambridge a show.
I know. And what actually do you do in the shows then? So I imagine lots of performance. What kind of things are you doing? Are we seeing like Mariah Carey vibes? I've got the hat on. Like, I don't know, Destiny's Child, Christmas song. I don't know. What are you doing?
Oh my God. Well, do you know what? We're doing a bit of everything. We're taking all the biggest Christmas hits. So we're doing Mariah. We're doing, what else? Obviously RuPaul. We're doing
Hey, Christmas. Of course.
Yeah. Goes without saying. We're doing Fairy Tale of New York. But do you know what? There's a problematic word in that. And we do bring that to people's attention.
The F word.
We set them up for the fall. And then we leave the stage.
And we leave. And that's the end of the show. We're like, I will not stand here and get assaulted like this. Goodbye.
Yeah, no, it's a real mix. It's a real mix of live singing, a little bit of dancing, lip syncing, and then we have a couple of local queens from wherever we are in the country who will do a set as well. So yeah, it's a real mixed bag. Yeah.
Are you both massive fans of Christmas?
You'd hope so.
Yes, I mean, me and Kitty have done a lot of pantos in the past between us. So, yeah. So Christmas has always been a really busy time. So this is no different for us, really. I mean, Christmas, I don't really buy any Christmas presents anymore because no one needs anything. So,
Hold on a sec. I don't buy that. Is it just because you're too busy?
Yeah. I mean, what do you buy?
Like every year, I always feel like if I'm doing panto or anything, I'll be like, because it's so much like it's such a tight work schedule, I always feel like I don't feel Christmassy. And this is the first year. We were in the tour bus yesterday going like, we were driving down to Glasgow, the like 7.5 hour journey. And it was like snowing outside and looked really Christmassy. And I remember turning to Ella, I was like, I feel really Christmassy for like the first time in forever. It's mad.
But still no Christmas shopping.
Oh no, we could Amazon, babes. Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
till the 23rd.
Has any of yours made it home? Because I think 90% of my Christmas shopping scattered around the country right now, and to try and track it's an absolute mare. I reckon it's going to be here by March.
Oh Christ alive!
I mean, so far I've only bought things for myself, and I've got them, so I'm fine. I'm happy.
Happy days, babe.
Well, you got to treat yourself as well as other people, haven't you? And, you know, you guys work very hard, so...
Well, RuPaul said, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else? You know, if you can't buy yourself a couple of presents, then what's the point for another people? That's RuPaul's way to
say, buy yourself a Chrissy present.
Exactly.
A Chrissy present, yeah. I'm into it. What's this year been like for you, though? I mean, obviously, it's been... You've had lots of work. What are you thinking when you look back on the whole year?
Oh, it's been non-stop. It's been such an amazing year. Like thinking back to like this time last year when we graduated, but we kind of did. We finished the show run and the year has just gone so, so quickly. And like I think I've done about 5 tours, been to Australia. Like we've done so much, the two of us. So it's been an incredible year. It's been amazing.
Honestly, it's gone past my, like, every expectation I had from going on Drag Race. It's gone, like, past that by, like, 10 billion miles. Like, I would never see, like, the stuff that we're doing now. I'm like, it blows my mind that, like, we get to do stuff like this and have a fabulous time and, like, tour and do, like, telly bits and meet amazing people and just have a great time. Honestly, it's been incredible.
Where you've been so busy, are you looking forward to having a bit of time off coming up to Christmas? Do you kind of get much time off before January?
Haha, good joke, Bob.
Yeah, lol. Lol, lol, lol. I'm looking forward to
personally. And the bitch is grafted all through.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to like January, February. I want to go on holiday once I've done my tax return. Boring.
Oh, God.
I'm looking forward to the new year and kind of regrouping and thinking, right, what's the plan this year? What do I want to do? You know, because I feel like the last year has just been so busy. You kind of forget, when you're doing drag, you forget that there's actually a person underneath it. So for me, it's about reconnecting, getting myself to the gym, getting healthy, and just really thinking about what I want to do next, because the whole year for me has been like off the back of Drag Race, you know, doing all the gigs. So now it's just like, I, you know, we've got some really fun things planned, me and Kitty as well, for the new year as well.
Yeah.
So there's loads planned. It's just, just re-sort of focusing the energy for me.
For me, I mean, my next project after, like, in the new year, I literally start it on, like, the 2nd of Jan, I think that's the date I start. It might even be sooner. It might even be, like, the 27th of December. But it's not been announced yet, but it's going to be announced very soon. But, yeah, I'm more stuff coming up.
So it's never stop. It's basically never ending for either of you.
But do you know what, though?
Exactly.
Like, we love what we do, and it bears, like, honestly, I never feel like I work a day in my life.
It's true. We're very lucky to do what we do and get paid for it because, you know, we used to do it and not get paid very much, and we still did it.
Not anymore.
No one cares that you're cross-dressing.
How does it feel to go from, obviously, I guess, both fans of the show to then competing on the show to then watching it, knowing what that experience is really like? Has it kind of changed now, you know, the behind-the-scenes side of things?
Yeah, it's like, you know that thing from The Wizard of Oz when it's like you see behind the curtain. And you see, like, how it all works. And so you watch, like, I remember watching season four now and just being like, I sympathise with the girls so much because it's so tough and the days are so long and you work so, so hard. And, my heart goes out to all of them. I think anyone that goes on the show is fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like watching when they enter the workroom and then when RuPaul arrives. In reality, that takes forever. That takes 45 minutes. And then you watch it and it's done in a flash. And so you just know everything. And it is harder to watch it because you know when it's been produced or like when they've been asked a question, you're like, oh, that's obvious. But, you know, as a viewer, I think even the viewers are cotton on to it as well, you know, but that's what happens when it's a long running series like RuPaul's. It's in every country, isn't it now? So
exactly.
They've just announced the new global.
Global All Stars.
Oh my God, I know.
What do you make of it?
Wild. Like, is it going to be like Eurovision when it's like one queen from each country and then we have to like, we have like someone from each country, like we'll have Tess Staley being like Nil Poir.
Oh my God, I would love that. A live final with voting. No, because then someone would have to come last. That's the only thing.
We probably come last because UK comes last at everything, doesn't it?
Not in Eurovision last year, hun.
We need the Sam Ryder of drag to bring us to second place.
Well, you got to just put Danny Beard in a wig. I mean, and then you've basically got Sam Ryder, haven't you? What did you make of him winning?
Oh, I thought Danny was brilliant.
Sorry.
I think Danny was incredible. Like, the whole season, apart from the snatch game, that was trash. But everything else was just, a masterclass.
Yeah, I think it was so close between Cheddar and Danny towards the end, and they were both very different. I think Cheddar would have been such a different winner compared to what we've had before. But both rightfully deserved to be in the top two.
Mm.
Do you think as years go on now, and like you touched upon, when something becomes an ongoing show and fans of the show then go on the show, do you think that kind of changes the game and that's when stakes get upped? But also, as well as stakes getting up, people know how to play the game more as years go on.
Definitely. And I think people seem to spend more and more money every single year as well, which is a shame as well, because I think you kind of lose that aspect of doing it on a budget.
British season, drag as well.
Season three, for example, we did it during a pandemic after a year of not really having much work in. So we were all on a budget. So we were like the budget season.
That's why you're all on tour now. You've got to pay those debts back.
Yeah.
We're all right now, but at the time it was really stressful. And I just, you know, there is such a pressure, not only for Drag Race people that have done it and have to keep up all the looks, but all the people, all the queens in all the local towns, I think really feel this pressure to have really expensive outfits and human hair and all this stuff. And really, in some ways, I think you lose the aspect of drag that everyone loves. And that's just going and having a laugh, taking the piss out of yourself.
Entertain a crowd, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Because when I think back, and obviously where the show's so huge now and seeing how America did it compared to, I mean, when I grew up and when I thought of traditional drag queens, as I'm sure we all know back in the day, it really were human hair extension. It was, do you know what I mean? The hair weren't there. It was a B&H hanging out. Do you know what I mean? But that kind of was British.
Lily Savage.
Lily Savage, perfect, yeah.
Yeah, but actually I think you're so right. The more people throw money at it, I think that doesn't always up the end.
Can you imagine, though, if there was like a season of Drag Race that was just pure, like, we call it bastard drag, but it's bastard at its finest, like with the blue eyeliner, the pencil thin, like black eyebrows, like Blackpool drag, brilliant.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Exactly that.
So brilliant. Blackpool Drag Race, start your engines and the illuminations.
Please, I'm well up for that. Well, both of you, thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Best luck the rest of the tour. How many more dates have you got?
We have got 7 more dates.
Yes.
And people can get their tickets at kittyandella.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. Best of luck with it all. And hope you have a nice evening. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
Bye. Bye. Well, it's so nice to be joined by the both of them. They're very busy time for them. So, yeah, really glad they could join us. Our next guest, Ollie, is ready to come in. So let's get him in. Ollie, hello.
Hey, got it working. How are you?
Really good. How are you doing?
Nice to see you. I like the hat. Does it say ABBA?
I've got an ABBA one. I've also got a Mariah one, which I was just wearing as well.
Oh,
so
more Christmassy.
I'm feeling very like pop music festive. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I like all the Christmas decorations as well. Looks really good.
Thank you. Unfortunately, Bob couldn't quite match the the stunning tinsel standards that I could get to.
I think I understand.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
So I'm really good, thank you. How are you, babes? Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Where's all your Christmas decorations?
Do you know what? I've done all my place up. I've got all my lovely tree. And I was saying on last week's show, I can't wait to show you because last week I was filming from a hotel room. And yeah. Basically, I've got snowed into my parents. So I'm currently in my old bedroom at my parents. So the only thing I've got is this headboard. But it probably is the most famous headboard in Essex. There ain't many people that ain't seen this. And not in that way. Not in a trollop way. As in that this headboard's been in about 2 years' worth of access all areas.
Oh, it's famous.
And this has kind of gone into early retirement, really. I ain't been seen for a while. So I thought we'd bring the bitch back.
Fair point. Ollie, have you been? It's been a bit of a wild time for you, really, hasn't it? Tell us a bit about what's been happening to you.
Yeah, obviously, I haven't been on your show for, I think, a couple of years. But yeah, I've been changing a lot. So I went through a lot of changes. Obviously, I started my K-pop career. I started having surgery to look Korean. And then I was still unhappy. So I became trans, thinking that was the reason I was unhappy. And then I realized, you know, let me just be the real me. Let me just find who I am inside. And I'm still doing my music, but I'm now trying to campaign for kids issues in America, particularly. I was just in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, whenever you have a platform online, it's important to be able to try and help others. So obviously I've been through a journey. I've had identity issues. So, you know, I had a lot of surgery and now I kind of regret doing all that to myself. And I'm just trying to be more natural, be me, and trying to use my experience to try and help others. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a journey.
So what was your process? Like you say, you've made changes and you've been very open about it. When did you start to think, actually, I've made the wrong decision or I don't feel this is me? Can you talk us through that, please, babe?
Yeah, so I think we all have a moment in life when we get to a point where we're just still not happy. And, you know, we try to change things, whether that's ourselves, whether it's the way we look or the way we feel. And, you know, I got to a point where I'd done like 32 surgeries over 9 years, trying to change my entire life. I was trying to, you know, look Korean. I was trying to become Korean because I love K-pop music. And I just wasn't happy. And I was like, you know, I got to a stage one day, I was like, I need to change something about this. It's unhealthy. I'm addicted to getting surgery. I'm addicted to going through these drastic changes that aren't normal. So, you know, I just woke up and I decided, like, it's time for a change. It's time to, you know, I had long hair. I had hair extensions. I shaved all the hair off. It's time to just try and be me and stop, you know, being so focused on looks, on surgery and stuff. And I feel so much happier now. I feel like a new person. I feel like I've had a kind of awakening.
I think it's fair to say that you've not only with yourself, but with people's reaction to you. I mean, you've rightly or wrongly, because people have very strong opinions on what you did in the past, have had a lot to say about, you know, trying to change your ethnic identity and things. How do you feel about that now, looking back at it with some distance and maybe trying to reverse some of what you've done?
Yeah, so obviously I regret what I did to myself. Again, it was more of an issue of identity struggles. So I think I was trying to seek happiness, and I used to live in Korea. So, you know, Korea and K-pop was an escapism for me. So it was something that was giving me happiness. So, no, I was trying to funnel my happiness into that. And, you know, it turned out it didn't work in the end. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for people that may have, you know, followed my journey and think, you know, that's normal, or maybe they've been inspired by it, you know, and I want everyone just to be happy however they're born, whoever they are. You know, everyone can do whatever they want that makes them happy and stuff. At the time, that was making me happy. Now I've realized it wasn't particularly healthy. It was a little bit of an obsession. So I'm trying now to speak up, you know, to help young people that, you know, might want to go for a drastic change in their life, just to say, look, no, wait it out. Don't go with a trend, because we see so many trends these days. You know, like, look at all the people that go to Turkey to look like Kim Kardashian, and, you know, they might have an issue. They might have a, you know, a surgery that goes wrong. So, you know, I just want to educate people and say, you know, don't rush into things. I kind of went with the trends. K-pop's been a big trend for the last few years, so I became obsessed, and, you know, I went with the trends and I regretted it. And obviously I've made mistakes in the past. I'm trying to grow as a person, and I'm trying to reverse the damage I've done and try and help others.
Because you've spoken out and criticized the media for almost idolizing, did you word it as soft males?
Yeah, so like more feminine. So in Korean, yes. K-pop, they're quite feminine looking.
And are you still of that mindset? Do you think there still is that narrative that the media does kind of idolize that kind of more of that look?
I mean, you can definitely see a trend in men kind of looking more feminine. And you know, I was living as like a trans woman for 6 months earlier this year. And, you know, I felt great for a time being. But, you know, I think there's definitely a pressure and a trend. When you look on social media, everyone has to look perfect. You know, everyone has filters, everyone does fillers, everyone does surgery, you know, and the feminine look is definitely a trend that's being set in Korea and K-pop, which has become hugely popular around the world. So, you know, I can see a lot of people falling for the trend. A lot of people are doing it. And, you know, it's nice to be able to make yourself look better. It's nice to be able to give yourself more confidence. But it's also, you know, what I've learned is, you know, don't go too extreme. You know, I went a little bit too far. I was identifying as Korean, and I realized, you know, that was a mistake. And I got a little bit too deeply obsessed with my love of K-pop. And, you know, a lot of people are obsessed with K-pop. A lot of people try to change themselves. But, you know, I do think the media has some responsibility in the sense that they push this. They push, you know, men looking a certain way. And it's great for people if that makes them happy. But I also feel like people need to make their own decisions rather than just going on what the media is telling them.
It's quite interesting, actually, you mentioning that. For the first time ever today, I think, I saw on BBC News, they were talking about one of the members of BTS having to do military service in South Korea. Why do you think suddenly that's sort of making headline news, like the lunchtime news on the BBC? What do you think that is?
Well, obviously, the BBC know the power of K-pop, and K-pop has really dominated the world, you know, in terms of the charts. We have the UK charts, Billboard in America, K-pop groups like BTS, Blackpink, they do top the charts. And, you know, they break YouTube records, they break so many records, they win Grammys, they win all these different awards. So I think the media like BBC, they've kind of realized how mainstream it is, because for many years, you know, one of my things I was trying to do is, I love K-pop and Korea so much, I was trying to promote K-pop and share it with new audiences. And, you know, it was so hard to get mainstream media to speak about it, because they think, oh, it's just some foreign language music, we don't get this, it's not important. But now they've finally woken up and realized, okay, K-pop's a big deal. And yes, one of the members is doing military service. I did actually offer to do the service instead of him, you know, so he could keep performing, but I didn't hear back.
I'm sure that probably didn't go down too well.
Exactly, not didn't go down well. But, you know, I was like, you know, we need him to keep singing for us for the next 2 years. I will do his job in the military service if necessary, and if I become Korean. So, but yeah, didn't get accepted.
So you're still into K-pop?
Still obsessed, but I've just realized, you know, my obsessing over someone's looks, like Jimin, and trying to look a certain way was unhealthy. So I'm still obsessed. I listen to it every day. I still make my music, but I'm trying to be, you know, more of a healthy K-pop fan.
What was your family's reaction when you kind of turned around and said, you know what, actually, I'm stripping this back now. I think I've gone a step too far. Was that a decision they was happy to hear, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for my family and friends and all my followers, everyone's been very supportive and very happy because, again, they were so concerned about me before. I was kind of a lost sheep. I was, you know, Bobby, I'd done last year, I did about 3 different surgeries, you know, with different anesthetics. And I had about 17 procedures in 1 year. So I did so much. And it was getting to a point where, you know, they thought I was going to die or, you know, I would never find happiness. So they're very relieved that I've been finding myself. And they're also happy that, you know, I'm trying to now, you know, use my experience and use my lessons that I've learned to try and, you know, educate people and help others to, you know, avoid just going with a trend that they see on social media, especially kids. You know, kids are very susceptible to seeing a celebrity online and they want to become like them, they want to look like them or whatever. So I'm just trying to, you know, raise awareness of that and just for people to be happy in their own skin.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think the growth of social media, as we say, that the knock-on effect is huge for, I think so many people, whether it's a subconscious or not, can't help but compare their lives. And I think sometimes, obviously I'm no psychologist or doctor, but I think some people's mental health, and I definitely think there's got to be a connection in the rise of both at the same kind of time. So many people can look at someone's lifestyle and see the best version that they're putting out or portraying that day and thinking, well, I've not got that house in Calabasas. I've not got that car. I've not got this, or I don't look like that. So there is kind of that rabbit hole people do get in sometimes of chasing something that isn't obtainable.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you look at social media, a lot of people, you know, it's not really real life. A lot of people use filters. I mean, if you look at Madonna, she, you know, bless her, she has about 10 different filters. But, you know, people use filters. People also like to show the perfect photo, you know, the perfect life. It doesn't necessarily reflect their real life or how they are and stuff. And so it's important for kids to kind of realize there's a difference between, you know, Instagram versus reality. It's not the same. It's, you know, and also, we see these influencers with nice cars, private jets. It's not necessarily the reality. And, you know, kids are, you know, aspiring to be an influencer, you know, which is a great thing. You know, I love doing it. I know you do as well. But, you know, it's not like a, you know, we need still need like kids to be teachers, be scientists, be doctors. You know, all kids shouldn't be aspiring to, you know, be a Kardashian, to get a reality show or to, you know, to be an Instagram star. It's also, it's very difficult for someone on Instagram to make money. It's actually very difficult. People don't see that. People don't realize it. So, you know, I just hope kids can, you know, enjoy Instagram, enjoy social media, but not get kind of carried away with what is being shown to them and not see it necessarily as real life.
What's 2023 got coming up for you?
So 2023, I'm actually working on my book. It's going to be published in the US, the UK and around the world. So I'm working on that at the moment. And also, I'm actually taking a break from my music and focusing on politics. So I'm hoping to speak before the US Congress, UK Parliament, to try and help kids that are struggling with gender dysphoria and gender identity issues. And because in America, there are some states where they perform surgeries on kids that are 12 years old to help them transition. You know, I support people transitioning, but I feel like a kid shouldn't be having that done to their bodies until, you know, they're at least 18. So I'll be doing some activism in the US in Washington, D.C. and working on my book and trying to use that as a self-help and motivational book to help the millions of people across the world that struggle, particularly teens that struggle with identity issues.
Very interesting. Well, Ollie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Happy Christmas and hope you have a good one. And look forward to seeing what you do next.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Nice to speak to you all. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Bobby. Bye, Stephen. Bye.
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 Interesting character, Ollie. He's come on the show before, looking very different to how he does now. But yeah, also controversial guy, I guess. So,
I don't think I've ever spoke or interviewed him before, actually. So it's the first time since I've done the show I've ever had a chance to sit and interview him and chat with him.
It's he's an interesting character. I can't imagine what it must be like in his head, having dealt with all that he's dealt with. So yeah, I mean, interesting to say the least. Right, our final guest, Liam Reardon, is ready to come in, fresh from Celebs Go Dating. Let's get him in.
Let's do this.
Hello.
Hello, Liam. You all right, mate?
I'm good. How are you? We're having for the
really
video.
Really good, thank you, mate. Really good. Thanks for joining us. It's lovely to have you on the show.
And you? How's things?
All good this end. All good. How about you? Keeping busy?
Not bad. We're up to Christmas now, isn't it? So life is just busy.
Yeah, gosh, it's flying by, isn't it? I can't believe how close Christmas is now.
Yeah, it's freezing cold as well, isn't it?
Oh, God, don't talk to me about the snow. I'm snowed in currently. I've got to ask you, mate, obviously CGD's airing at the minute.
Yes.
How have you found filming that? Because obviously this isn't your first reality show. People originally will know you from Love Island.
That's right, yeah.
Not your first time dating on TV, but a completely different setup. What's the differences and what have you preferred?
Well, obviously the dating on Love Island was, well, it wasn't much dating, to be honest. It was just in the villa. And when
hanging
I
did, out.
Yeah. And when I was on a date, it was with Millie, and we had this, you know, I think when we had our first date, when she first came in the villa, there was like, you know, there was something there straight away. You know, it was very flirty. You could just tell it was something there. And, you know, dates afterwards then, obviously we knew each other, so it was a lot more comfortable. And so, yeah, celebrity date, then you're just thrown in into completely, you know, unknown territory with unknown people. And, it's been great fun. I had a great time. But, yeah, definitely different to Love Island. I think celebrity date is not as intense as Love Island. You know, it's been more fun, it's tongue-in-cheek. Like, Love Island is intense.
How did you get on with Anna and Paul? Because when I did the show, it was back in series 3. It was two different agents at the time. It was Nadia and Eden.
That's right, yeah.
The show was still very early days back then. How did you get on with them? And did you take any advice from them moving forward where you kind of think, actually, these guys, they know their shit?
They do know that, as much as they, you know, they're there for the show and everything, and it's, they actually do know, you know, they know their stuff, you know, and it's in real life careers. And you know, the stuff they were saying to me was like, there were certain things which I probably didn't know about myself, but they could see. And you know, they've dealt with people in my situation who've gone on massive reality shows, been in serious relationships, then, you know, ended. And for me, it's been like a complete whirlwind, you know, but they've seen it before, and they could resonate, is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
Understand where I was coming from. You know, it's hard for people to understand my situation, friends, family. None of them have been through breakups, but not kind of the past 2 years that I've been through. But Anna and Paul kind of understood, and you know, just give me a little bit of advice, you know, where they could. And I'll try and take that going forward. But yeah, it's been a, you know, it has been a whirlwind the past 2 years. You know, it was very a lot of controversy of me going on Celebs Go Dating. I did get a lot of stick off a lot of people, which, you know, is expected. But, you know, I was, you know, this industry's tough and you've got to kind of just, you know, do certain things. And to be honest, I enjoy doing the show, you know. It was kind of helped me move forward as well. You know, like, I was busy every day meeting new people on similar journeys to me. You know, it kind of helped with my breakup. And, you know, I've come away, great experience. I met some great people, got some good friends. And, you know, if you'd said to me back 2 years ago, when I was a bricklayer, you're going to be doing a show like this, I'd say, yeah, I'd bite your hand off. You know, although I've had a lot of stick and a lot of people give me stick going on there, you know, I don't
know. Who from in particular? When you mentioned you've been getting stick, who was giving you stick and what have they been saying?
Well, you know, the typical people online. You know, I just gave me a slate. And it's like, these people don't know me, you know, and, you know, if you feel like they did know me for a 10-minute chat, they probably think, oh, she's a decent guy, you know, but, like, they just slayed me on. Like, everybody loves Millie, which is great. She's amazing. You know, she's amazing. She's a lovely, lovely girl. But like, you know, I'm 23 years of age. I'm just having a bit of fun. I've gone through a breakup. I've been hurt. But I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to ask on a TV show and have a bit of fun. And so be it. People take things so seriously and just want to throw hate and, you know, just, and I feel like, fucking hell, I'm just taking things as they come and enjoying myself. You know, when I'm 30, 40 years of age, I look back and go, you know, I had fun doing that show. You know, I met some great people. Like, that's what
it does sound a bit like something you've struggled with.
I don't struggle with it. You know, I feel like I'm very thick skinned, but it is annoying, you know, like obviously going on the show, like, I wasn't ready to be. When they first asked me, I told them no, because I didn't think I was ready to do something like that. I wasn't ready to date I wasn't ready to be back out there because I was still
hurting. Do you mean Love Island or do you mean Celebs Go Dating?
Celebs Go Dating, sorry.
Oh, right, yeah.
I wasn't ready to date and be back out there. And, you know, I was still hurt myself. I didn't want to hurt Millie anymore either. So I said no, but, you know, they came back and kept asking. So I thought, yeah, you know, why not? And like I said, I enjoyed myself. But if I went on then was very flirty, you know, a little bit cocky, you know, people would have hated that then because it'd be too soon of me to do that. So I wasn't like that, not because of other people, because I wasn't ready either, but it almost comes across as if I'm being boring or dry. You know, I've seen a few comments now of people saying I'm dry and boring, et cetera. And like, so whatever I do, whatever way I am on there, it's going to be wrong in many people's eyes. So, to be honest, I just think bollocks to these people.
Did you get trolled a lot after the breakup once it became like public news and it was put out there that you was no longer together? You were meaning, did you find social media and trolling, or was it quite bad for you?
Yeah. Like when we were together, we like kind of just had each other. We were protected together. You know, we'd get the odd person chatting rubbish, but obviously we broke up then. And I think naturally the man usually gets the, you know, the bad side of things. We broke up amicably. We've remained friends, but then, you know, people made rumors up of me cheating in like some festival. And then soon as people see that, they just think, oh, Aleppo never changes spots. Cause I did something in Casa Amor, in Love Island, and people just slated me, thousands of comments just saying, he's a scumbag. He's this, he's that, you know, she was too good for him anyway. And you don't even know me. Like you don't even know I haven't cheated. You're just reading something you saw online, and like people was quick to judge straight away. So after the breakup, yeah, I definitely had a lot of stick. You know, I went to a Reading festival and some girl shouted at me, you know, sorry, can I swear on you?
You can.
Yeah, go for it, man.
You're a fucking scumbag. Can't believe you cheated on Millie. And I'm like, you know, whatever. And then, you know, I don't let her check.
That's hard. That's really hard though, because especially if you know that you didn't do anything wrong.
If, you know, I'm someone, you know, when I kissed someone else and I held my hand up, I said, look, I was wrong. It was wrong of me to do. But when you're getting accused of things you didn't actually do, you know, it's a bit frustrating. But even now, you know, like obviously going on the show, people tend to take Millie's side, which is fine. I'm not bothered, you know, it's just like, you do.
Are you hoping that one day you'll be able to leave that behind? Is that something you're trying to, you're keen to move on from?
Move on from TV or move on from this breakup, you mean?
Well, yeah, from the breakup and people associating you with.
Oh, right. Yeah, like, you know, I'm not what just people see. I'm not just a, people assume I'm this bad guy who fucked someone over. And, you know, I've always tried to do right by people. You know, I love my family, friends, everything. And I think TV, people just see what a certain side and they just assume that's you. And, you know, I'm not saying a real bad side has come out of me, but people just assume that, you know, people will always have things to judge on. And so I think, you know, bollocks to them. As long as people who know me and love me and, you know, they see me in the right way, that's what matters, really. But definitely, I had a great time doing it. I just feel like, you know, Bob, you know, like fucking you get a negative side to whatever you do. Some people love you, some people hate you, you know, so you've got to kind of get on and do your thing.
Do you think a lot is to do with Eddie? You know, and what's your thoughts? I know you've done a couple of reality shows. When it comes to editing of a show, do you think that plays a huge part in people's perceptions?
Oh, definitely. You know, like, I feel like it's hard to... Your personality is your personality. Mm. But you can, you know, if you go on a date for an hour, you know, you might have loads of laughter, a couple of awkward moments. They could just show, you know, the dates on the show, they only show them for like 5 minutes. They could show just the 5 minutes of awkward moments. And all of a sudden, the date was really awkward. Or they could show you being a bit quiet for 5 minutes and all of a sudden you're a miserable bastard.
Yeah.
There's no winning.
It's your control then, is it? Once you've done your hour, your hour and a half, whatever 3-4 minutes they show is completely out of your hands. Exactly. You don't know.
Yeah. And
watching it back, are you happy with how you've been edited?
Look, I haven't watched all of it because watching myself, it makes me cringe. But my family were watching it, you know, step by step, and they're saying you're coming across amazing. You know, I've seen certain clips and, you know, some of the episodes, and I feel like I'm coming across okay. But like I said, I wasn't going to be, you know, flirting over the top because you know, that was wrong at that certain time to be like that. So I make them, you know, people love celebs go dating, people being flirty and bantering. And, you know, I wasn't like that. So I make them across as a bit dry or a bit boring. But look, I'm just normal. I'm a down-to-earth person. You know, I might not be super exciting to watch sometimes. I don't know.
I think you need to stop second-guessing yourself. Just enjoy yourself.
I do second-guess myself.
But that's the nature of it, isn't it? Well, on cheery note, what are you doing for Christmas?
So I'm heading back to Wales on I think Sunday, going back to see family, see friends, because obviously I live in Essex, I live on my own. I moved here with Millie last year, and once we broke up then I went back to Wales for a couple of weeks and then kind of moved back to Essex then. So yeah, obviously I don't want to be spending Christmas in Essex on my own. So heading back to Wales. I haven't seen the family for a good few weeks, so be good to go back and see them, and just be in the pub seeing the boys.
Sounds ideal.
Little things, you know, I go out quite a lot in London, and but when you go back and, you know, your hometown, see your friends, you know, it's especially Christmas, it's a special time of the year, isn't it?
Absolutely. And how is dating, mate, now? Is there a special lady in your life? Have you took anyone for a Nando's or a steak and chips?
So very much concentrating on myself. That was a massive part about the separation between me and Millie. So, you know, concentrating on myself and just trying to do everything for myself, and just, I'm not selfish person. I'm trying to be a little bit more selfish and just kind of do my own thing, you know, and, I'm trying to focus on trading, you know, work and career. And, so I always, you can speak to people, but I'm not really looking for anything at the moment.
I don't want to settle down. What are the DMs saying though, Liam? Who's sliding into them? Because I can imagine them.
Well, no one in specific, but you know, the DMs, you know, a couple of DMs on a daily, but
they're popping off.
I'm very selective who I apply to, and like I said, I'm not really looking about for text. I'm not much of a texter, to be honest. I hate texting, in fact. You know, I'll speak to my mates on the phone, or my mother, my dad, but I just don't like texting.
Old school.
You know, if I meet someone out, then you meet someone out, but I'm just not a fan of texting all the time.
Fair enough. Yeah. Can understand that. Well, Liam, thank you so much for joining us soon. Really appreciate it. Don't doubt yourself so much. hope you have an amazing Christmas and New Year.
Perfect. Thank you, lads. Good to chat to you as well.
You're welcome. You Merry Christmas, mate. Lovely to Christmas, chat with
you. Take care. Cheers, lads.
See ya.
Bye, mate.
Thanks. Oh, he seems like a sweetheart, doesn't he? I mean, it's a difficult thing, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah.
When you've done the reality TV life, as you know, Bob.
Yeah. it's a tricky one. It's a rabbit hole, and it's certainly a can of worms. But
it certainly is.
He's in a good place, in that, reflecting and spending time. Like he said, he's being selfish, but sometimes I don't think that's a negative selfish. Sometimes it's important to focus on yourself a little bit.
I think we both know that. We're both pretty positive on those sorts of things.
Absolutely, babe. Well, what a Christmas show, and what a finale to 2022.
It's the end of 2022.
Blimey.
What's been your highlight of the year, Bob?
Shit, what's been my highlight? That's a good question, Stephen. What has been a highlight? Do you know what?
I haven't really got one.
You know what it is? I'll be really honest, and I know I sit because I always go into years really positive, and I remember saying exactly the same last year. And because I'm one of them that I love an even number, I was just convinced. I was like 2022. I was just convinced it was going to be an amazing year, and it's had some good moments. I mean, like every year, no year is going to be 365 days of glitters, do you know what I mean? I'm feeling positive for 2023. So do you know what, going to a new year, excited. I'm really looking forward to it. Have you got a highlight of 2022?
Mine has definitely been
every week with me.
Apart from that, I have to say the travel that I've done this year, I've been very lucky to go abroad quite a lot, and it really is my favourite thing, is travelling. So I feel very lucky to have been able to go to Canada and to Italy and to Spain, and just kind of after the last couple of years, just kind of get back out there. So yeah, for me, it's kind of been getting away from here has been.
Yeah, you dusted off that passport and went all fucking Judith Chalmers, didn't you? Who's been left, right, and centre. But good luck to you, Bose. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to do more of that next year, actually. I want to do a little bit more travelling, go to a few more places.
Get it done, so
get it done, absolutely. But I'm excited for 2023. How about you? Good vibes?
Yes, me too. Good. I'm feeling positive. I'm looking forward to it. But I do also get to this time of year and I just kind of want it to all, let's just, right, come on, I'm ready for the next year now. I love Christmas. I love seeing my family, but I'm also ready for the new start. So I feel like... That's my thinking.
I'm ready to sit down, eat my turkey. Sorry for the vegans out there, but enjoy your nut roast or whatever. And I'm quite happy to chair on a few pigs in blankets, watch Love Actually a couple of times. But yeah, a couple of days of that. Bring on January, bring on 2023 now. We'll be back, I think. What are we, second week of January, we'll be back.
Yeah. Looking forward to that too.
Exciting.
Well,
and thanks for tuning in and staying with us all year, guys. Always a pleasure. Have a lovely Christmas and New Year.
Merry Christmas indeed.
We'll see you all on the other side. Bye, guys.